United States.
Swing states. Michigan. A kinder, gentler Trumpism. Can Donald Trump win back suburban voters?
On a hot and muggy evening in Rochester Hills, a suburb of Detroit, the local Republican Club is meeting to hone battle plans for the 2024 election. Leading the workshop is Amy Hawkins, an energetic millennial activist and supporter of Donald Trump. She tells the crowd of mostly 60-somethings that the Republican Party needs an attitude adjustment. Don't shun those who disagree with you, she urges. Instead, recognise that we don't all have to sing from the same songbook. Don't show up in MAGA hats to yell at local school board officials, she implores. Do bake them cookies and tell them you're praying for them. What if we became known as the Happy Party? She muses. It is easy to see why Ms. Hawkins has chosen to recalibrate Trumpism in this enclave of stately homes occupied by voters with college degrees. When Mr. Trump won the White House in 2016, he took Michigan by a mere 11,000 votes. He lost the state's white, college-educated suburban voters by 5 points. In 2020, that deficit swelled to 17 points, and he lost Michigan to Joe Biden by 154,000 votes. Suburbanites' rebuke of Mr. Trump accounted for three-quarters of the swing against him. To win this year, Mr. Trump will need to lure at least some of them back. He has work to do. According to polls from YouGov/The Economist, Mr. Trump is polling nationally at 43% among white suburban voters with a college degree. That is 3 points less than the share he won in 2020, judging by numbers from Catalyst, a progressive political data firm. How then did Mr. Trump build a steady lead over Mr. Biden this summer? Among educated white suburbanites, at least, it is not so much that Mr. Trump is winning, it is that Mr. Biden was losing, and the question now is whether a new Democratic nominee can reverse that trend. In 2020, the president won 53% of white college-educated suburban voters nationally. Across June and July 2024, Mr. Biden polled at 43%. Now that Democrats are to replace him with a younger candidate, will the picture change? There is clear evidence that Kamala Harris, the presumptive nominee, would have an opportunity to improve on Mr. Biden's recent performance. In 2022, Michigan's popular governor, Gretchen Whitmer, won re-election by an 11-point margin. She swept the state suburbs by 17 points. Although there are no apples-to-apples figures available about Mr. Biden's standing in Michigan when he left the race, it is clear from national numbers that his margin was much smaller than that. Ms. Harris could close the gap. This summer, particularly after Mr. Biden's cataclysmic debate performance on June 27th and until he ended his campaign on July 21st, Mr. Trump has maintained a steady lead in national polls and in every swing state. Yet, as the ceiling on his vote share shows, Mr. Trump remains vulnerable in the suburbs. A Democratic comeback would probably pass through swing state suburban counties like Oakland. Rochester Hills may appear as if it belongs in a 1960s John Updike novel, but the suburbs are not what they used to be. For one, they are racially more diverse. Since 1980, the number of white residents in Oakland County has held steady, but that of non-whites has grown from 60,000 to 320,000 in 2020. The county has shifted left during this period. Greater diversity is probably one factor, along with changing views among college-educated white voters. Polarization along educational lines has also changed how suburbanites vote. Consider Michigan's tale of two suburban bellwether counties. Between 1972 and 2012, Oakland, where half of adults have college degrees, and its working-class neighbour, Macomb County, where a quarter do, were regarded as lockstep predictors of Michigan's vote in presidential elections. Oakland voted for the candidate that won the state 10 out of 11 times, while Macomb did so 9 times. The average difference in candidate margins across the two counties was just 4 points. But Mr. Trump changed all that. In 2016, Oakland and Macomb diverged by 20 points, and Mr. Trump won Macomb with 54% of the vote. Hillary Clinton prevailed in Oakland. Since then, Republicans have found themselves on shaky ground in Michigan. Their state party fell into disarray, riven by internecine struggles and swamped with debt. And they would surely prefer to forget the past three elections in the state. In 2018, Republicans got slaughtered in Michigan, says Jason Cable Rowe, a veteran party strategist in the state. Ms. Whitmer won the governor's contest, and Democrat women won races for Attorney General and Secretary of State. Two more women Democrats, Haley Stevens and Alyssa Slotkin, won competitive congressional seats, marking the first time since the 1930s that Oakland County had no Republican representatives in the House. It was very much the year of the woman, Mr. Rowe adds. It got worse for Republicans in 2022. As Ms. Whitmer won her second term easily, a ballot initiative to enshrine abortion in the state's constitution passed by 13 points. Democrats took control of the state House and Senate and established their first trifecta in 38 years, controlling the governorship and both chambers of the legislature. With abortion rights in the state already established, that issue, a rallying point for Ms. Harris's campaign, has less salience in Michigan. Suburbanites are most concerned about the economy this time around, according to polling from Emerson College. Generally, Mr. Trump polled better than Mr. Biden on that issue. Yet so far, there has been little enthusiasm for this election. In the summer of 2020, polling from YouGov/The Economist showed that some 70% of white college-educated suburban voters were extremely or very enthusiastic about that year's election. Across June 2024, only about half said the same. In an initial poll after Mr. Biden left the race, enthusiasm among Democrats rose to 54%, compared with 43% in a previous poll. Ms. Hawkins' pitch in Rochester Hills for a kinder, gentler Trumpism reflects recent attempts by the National Republican Party to tone down MAGA pugilism. The effort was on display at the party convention in Milwaukee. It is not a natural script for Mr. Trump, and he did not stick to it for long. But some of his allies on the front lines understand what it takes to win in blue-leaning areas. The formula is to trim yourself a little bit on the rhetoric and the issues that you talk about, Mr. Rowe says. The guiding principle is to give non-Republicans permission to vote for a Republican, even one carrying the baggage of Donald Trump.